ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् स्वरूपाय श्री दयानंद रूपाय परम गुरवे परमात्मने सो वी बीन सीइंग द अनफोल्डमेंट ऑफ दिस महावाक्यम अहम ब्रह्म अस्मि सो द एनालिसिस ऑफ पुरुषार्थस विद फोकस्ड अटेंशन definitely gives us purushartha nischayaha, the definiteness about the ultimate goal. Then once the goal is clear, the means to accomplish the end, the goal also becomes clear in terms of the attainment of knowledge of the truth. Once the knowledge of the truth being the only means for accomplishing the end called moksha becomes clear, then the pramanam, the means of knowledge being important also becomes clear. Once the goal is clear, the means becomes clear. And the means being the knowledge of the truth, the reality, and the pramanam, the means of knowledge being important, also becomes clear. Once the necessity of pramanam is understood, then Veda Shastram being the pramanam also becomes clear. There again, the Vedanta Shastram being the Pramanam becomes clear. And in that context, this reality, the truth, which has to be understood, which has to be discovered, actually has to be discovered as one's own self. Therefore, the pramanam cannot be anything which is already available. The pramanam has to be different from what's already available. And that pramanam is shastra pramanam. The means of knowledge is only shastram. And another fact is understood. We will not be interested in the knowledge of the truth at all if it doesn't help me to sort out my own problem. Even though we can say it is knowledge of the truth of the whole universe, actually, the knowledge of the truth of the whole happens to be truth of one's own self. It is the means to sort out my fundamental problem. This is what I discussed last class. Actually, there is no problem in the world. There is no problem with anything. The so-called worldly problems are only relative problems. Actual problem is the problem of smallness, inadequacy, insecurity centered on I. Therefore, this discovery of the truth happens to be discovered as the truth of oneself is the means by which I can resolve this problem. In resolving this problem, I did not attain anything. Resolving this problem itself is what? The discovering what is already there. So the very Mahavakyam itself is there in all the Upanishads. There are different Mahavakyams. Naham Brahmasmi we find in this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Mahavakyam itself is there for what? For us to tell we did not go and search for the truth anywhere. The truth has to be discovered as one's own self. Even though we simply say Mahavakyam actually equates the individual to the total. Mahavakyam equates the individual to the total. So any Mahavakyam is an equation. So the very equation makes us understand the fact that there is difference and there is as non-difference as well. So the we need not analyze the Mahavakyam to discover the difference. Even before analyzing the Mahavakyam, understanding the meaning conveyed, revealed by the Mahavakyam, we already know we are the differences. And we understand how the total is given the name Ishvara. The individual is given the name Jiva. So two different qualifications. The individual who is part of the total, part of the whole, is given the title of Jiva. And the total which is inclusive of the individual is given the title Ishvara. I'm repeating the sentence. The individual, which is part of the total, the whole, is given the title Jiva. And the whole, which is inclusive of the individual, is given the title Ishvaraha. So any part of the whole is Jiva. And the whole inclusive of all the individuals, any individual is Ishvara. So this Ishvaraha and Jivaha are Jiva Atma and Parama Atma. This difference need not be understood. Jivatma, Paramatma difference need not be understood through the analysis of Mahavakyam. We already have the knowledge of differences. Because we have experience of the differences, we already have knowledge of differences. And Shastram presents certain attributes of Ishvara, the whole, as what? Omniscient, omnipotent, almighty, omnipresent, Sarvajna, Sarvashaktiman, Sarvavit, Sarvavyapi. All these words, no? This is Paramatma. What is Paramatma? The one who is all pervasive is Paramatma. The one who is all knowing is Paramatma. Omniscient is Paramatma. The one who is endowed with all powers, almighty is Paramatma, omnipotent is Paramatma. This is how Paramatma is presented. Ishvara is presented in all the scriptures, all the scriptural literature and also the Upanishads. So Upanishads need not talk about the Jiva. We already know what an individual is. So it is the suffering, the problems, the pains, the pairs of opposites, all of them are for whom? For not for Ishvara, for the Jiva. So Mahavakya analysis is not for understanding the difference. Mahavakyam does not deny the difference. Jivatma Paramatma difference, Mahavakyam does not deny, accepts the differences. Then it reveals what is not known to us. Accepting what is known to us reveals what is not known to us, what we do not know. We know there are differences between individual and the total, Jivatma and Paramatma, the individual and the Ishvara. But we do not know the non-difference. Suppose Mahavakyam does not accept our knowledge of differences between the individual and the total, then it cannot present the equation. It accepts the differences, which means Shastram does not contradict our reasoning, our experiences, does not deny our experiences. Differences are there, but what it reveals is that what we do not know, that is non-difference. And this non-difference of these two, the difference is all there between Jivatma and Paramatma. Non-difference also is there between Jivatma and Paramatma. But what is difference absolutely real or non-difference absolutely real? This must be understood, okay? Is difference absolutely real? Difference between Paramatma and Jivatma is not unreal. It is also real. The difference between Jivatma and Paramatma is non-difference between Jivatma and Paramatma also is real. There is no such thing called tucham here, okay? The difference also is real. Non-difference also is real. There is no untruth about it. Nothing unreal about it. What we know, the differences are not absolutely real. The differences are only relatively real. But the non-difference alone is absolutely real. But unfortunately, we do not know what is absolutely real. We do not know the non-difference being the absolute reality. Therefore, we mistake the relative difference which is known to us to be the absolute reality. If we understand the non-difference is absolutely real, then we can resolve these relative differences in what is absolutely real. Then we can take ownership of the freedom which is already there as a result of understanding the absolute non-difference. That is why we have this Mahavakyams. Why we have Mahavakyams. And here, the freedom is also implied by another word, objectivity. The moksha, the word moksha, even though literally it means freedom, it's actually implied by another word, objectivity. So being objective is being free. And being objective means not internalizing the situations. Non-internalization of situations means not being subjective. So in ignorance, there is naturally, helplessly subjectivity. In knowledge, there is objectivity. Therefore, subjectivity is bondage, objectivity is freedom. In knowledge, in freedom, in being objective, we see the world as it is, without an expectation on a part, expecting the world to be different from what it is. When can we be without expectation? How can we be without expectation? Only when we are not dependent on the world, we can be free from expectation. As long as we are dependent on the world, there will be expectation. Dependence here implies our ignorance of the world. You are dependent on the world means we are ignorant of the world. We are ignorant of the world means what? We do not know what the world can do, what it cannot do. Which means the world definitely is not a source of happiness. The world definitely is not a source of unhappiness also. The world is not at all responsible for any unhappiness, any dukkham. The world is not a source of happiness, nor is it responsible for dukkham. It is very important. When we mistake the world to be a source of happiness, that is what is expressed in the form of our liking. Why there is liking? An emotion, a phenomenon called like, desire. A phenomenon called like, obtaining in the form of a subtle emotion, obtaining in the form of a thought. Like itself, we entertain something called a like in our minds. Not that we want to entertain, naturally, helplessly, we do entertain something called like, L-I-K-E, like. The like itself is a phenomenon, which is there, rises in the form of a thought in our mind. There's something called like, which you understand. You also express it, I like it. That like itself is because of an expression of our dependence upon the world. And when we understand, the world is source of happiness. So not the whole world, certain things in the world, whatever we associate with, whatever we are with, whatever we enjoy, water is within the range of our, you know, within the limit of our, you know, the small world. Water is what we associate with. The small world of people, situations and things we enjoy, that becomes, we are mistaken for a source of happiness, then there is a like, phenomenon called like is possible. And when mistake the world for responsible for my unhappiness also, there is dislike. Under dislike, nursed and nursed can even become the worst hatred, hatefulness. The like can become severe passion. The dislike can become aversion. And you know, different degrees of this like and dislikes can become passion and aversion. So these two emotions, raga dveshas, our shastram discusses about these two as what? Raga dveshas. Raga dvesho paripanthinau tau hi asya, no, na agachet. So they are paripanthinau, Krishna says in Gita, raga dveshas. Likes and dislikes. Is it wrong to have likes and dislikes? No, it is not wrong to have likes and dislikes. How can it be wrong? It's not that we are entertaining them. It's not that we want to have them. Or not that we are creating them. They are naturally there. And these raga and dvesha, like and dislike, are two sides of one coin called desire. And these raga dveshas naturally arising, and they will be there as long as there is dependence upon the world. And the dependence upon the world is otherwise called attachment. Dependence upon the world for one's happiness, thereby having liking for certain things pertaining to the world, is called attachment. The same way, mistaking the world as a source of unhappiness, are taking the world, anything associated with the world, to be responsible for unhappiness, having dislike towards the object, towards the world, is also what? Attachment. Attachment alone is in the form of like and dislike. Because in like and dislike, there is attachment. There is dependence. Dependence means, you know, you depend in the sense there is wrong perception of the world. You think the world is responsible for the problems you have, for your pain, for your anger, for your hatefulness, or for your pain, especially pain, mainly pain. My sorrow, my grief. You can say all the unwanted, undesirable things can be reduced to one word, pain. The world is responsible for my suffering. I tell you, I'm repeating this to you. Very important. The world is responsible for my suffering. The people I'm associating with are responsible for my suffering. Somebody said something, it is responsible for my suffering. When we mistake, why is it a mistake? Because according to Shastram, the world is not at all responsible for any pain that you go through in life. world is not responsible for my pain. Because world is not a source of unhappiness. World is not responsible for my unhappiness. But if I think the people I associate with, situations I go through, are responsible for my unhappiness, if I think, it is my thinking, which means that is called, that's also passion. There's also attachment. So passion and aversion are expressions of my attachment to the world. If I have only, no, I don't have any passion, but I have aversion, that is also attachment. I tell you, people think attachment means not sitting all the time next to the person, missing the person. No, that is not true. Aversion towards anything in the world, hatred towards anything in the world also makes you a person of attachment. Attachment implies dependence. What is the dependence? You are dependent on that given object which is mistaken to be a source of unhappiness not to be there. Isn't it? So, attachment does not mean only the passion, aversion also. A aversion, hatred towards anything in the world is there, there is attachment. And passion towards anything is there in the world, there is attachment. So, raga and dvesha towards anything in the world makes you a person of attachment. Attachment implies dependence. I want this to be in the world because I like it. That's a source of my happiness. Okay? It is like. I don't want this to be in the world because it's a source of unhappiness for me. That is dislike. Both are wants anyway. Okay? And ragadveshas. So this is the fact revealed by the Shastram. World is not a source of happiness or unhappiness. Even if Shastram simply says, repeats and repeats and repeats, world is not a source of happiness. So don't have overvalue for things in the world. Don't be dependent on the world for happiness. Shastram says we will not listen. Shastram, this is a fact. And then nothing in the world is definitely responsible for any pain you go through. Even then, we cannot. So we will not keep quiet. We cannot. So, this is a fact, Shastram says. For ourselves to understand this fact, the world is not a source of happiness, nor is it responsible for any pain I go through in my life. This is a fact. I have to understand this fact. Understanding this fact, I will become independent of the world. When I am independent of the world means I'll be detached from the world. So detachment and attachment, dependence, okay, the independence and dependence. Attachment is dependence. Detachment is independence. Isn't it? Where is the dependence? Where is the independence? In attachment, there is dependence. In the detachment, there is independence. If I had to be independent of the world for my happiness, and if I have to be free from the hold of this thinking that the world is responsible for my unhappiness, thereby for me to be detached, it is not enough if simply I listen to this fact. No, world is not responsible for your unhappiness. World is not source of happiness. Repeatedly, Shastram tells also, like a parrot, and then we listen and we listen and we listen, still doesn't help us. So Shastram also makes it very clear. For us to understand this fact, we need to discover what is really a source of happiness. In discovering the source of happiness, you know, the unhappiness and pain resolves for good. Once you resolve the pain and unhappiness for good, by discovering the source of happiness, that is when we will be independent of the world. That is when you will be detached from the world. So detachment, you cannot be detached without discovering the fact. So knowledge is freedom. Knowledge is independence. Knowledge is detachment. That is why how much ever you try to be detached, But what do you mean? I don't want to be attached. I want to be detached. Let me try. Even if you try, you can try. But still, you are not really detached. Real detachment, you don't need to become detached. Naturally, you will be detached when in independence. In independence is possible when you understand the fact that the world is not the source of happiness, nor is it responsible for your unhappiness. And that is possible only when you discover the only source of happiness. Why do I need to discover the source of happiness? What choice do you have? Unless and until you discover the source of happiness, there's no way of discovering dispassion towards the world. Discovering dispassion towards the world means becoming independent of the world for your happiness and security. And being independent of the world means being free from raga-dveshas. Hold of raga-dveshas. Okay, that is why freedom from the hold of these two rakshasas, raga and dvesha, are the two rakshasas, two demons. Don't worry about anything else. Last week I talked about fear. This week I'm talking to you about raga-dveshas. Separately, raga and dveshaha are the two rakshasas. Why? All your suffering, the emotional trauma, is caused by these raga dveshas. Of course, the mola karma is ajnanam. That's a different thing. There's two symptoms of disease, mental, no? The symptoms of, symptom called mental illness, now the symptom of mental illness in the form of raga-dveshas. As long as they are managed, raga-dveshas are managed, you are a very decent, cultured, civilized individual human being. When you are not able to manage the raga-dveshas, that is when rakshasainess pops out. In verse Sadashiva Brahmendra, I think I used to sing on bhajan before. All of you must be very familiar with the bhajan, which I quite often used to sing. And there when he says, Raga Dvesha Mukha Asura Mari. When he praises Lord Rama, Raga Dvesha Mukha Asura Mari. Raga Dveshas are the two asuras. Because whoever causes problems is an asura. Asuras are not outside. Your own Raga Dveshas. Because as long, see, these raga-dveshas are naturally there. You cannot undo the raga-dveshas at all. You can never undo our raga-dveshas. We have to understand here. Understand our helplessness. If you have to seek help, you must be intelligent enough to understand your helplessness. That are we creating these ragadveshas? When you are living in the world, we are interacting with the world, and we can't help entertaining this raga and dvesha. I'm sure I'm talking very simple language in a simple matter, but it's a very important one. Because interaction with the world, contact with the world, naturally will give rise to raga dveshas. Krishna says, no, actually all pairs of opposites he'll say generally. In general he says, raga, no, but all pairs of opposites, especially raga dveshas. You know, when everything is conducive, raga is there. When nothing is conducive, there'll be dvesha. And as long as, so ragadveshas are what? Ragadveshas are actually, please understand, ragadveshas in our mind are actually expressions of our dependence. You can appreciate something good, okay, very nice. Any raga, any degree of raga or dvesha towards anything or towards anybody in the world is expression of your dependence. Your attachment. Understand? As long as there is attachment and dependence, there is no freedom and there is bondage. Bondage means you can't help be subject to limitations, which means you can't have peaceful mind. Mind will be disturbed. Mind will be agitated. Mind will be agitated. Mind will be restless. How will meditation help you? Or any puja will help you? As long as you're practicing meditation, any puja you do, any japam you do, any chanting you do, or any music you sing, or music you listen, or the games you play, the sports you are involved with, associate with, anything which keeps you entertained can help you only forget ragadveshas for some time. Can help you. Therefore, you can help you forget situations and can keep, you need something to keep you occupied and busy for you to be peaceful. That's why, no, you have to understand the psychology from a child. The child which is disturbed needs your attention, seeking attention, feeling helpless, will cry. The child is in need of food, in need of water, in need of some milk, doesn't know how to express its need, there's a pain. Biologic, no? A child has no emotional pain. Some disturbance, discomfort. Then child expresses, mom of crying out. But still, the mother has to get the milk ready. You know, have to boil and heat it up, and then it must be warm enough, not too hot, to chill also, to feed the baby. It takes some time. But until the time, you know, you have to keep the child quiet. Distract the attention to keep the child calm. Distract. How do you distract? Use some, what is it called? Gilke. Use some toy, make some noise. Distraction. Distract the attention to calm the rest, calm the mind. Distraction can help you to be calm for some time. Distractions in life help us to be calm for some time. That's why we are distracted. And then we distracted, we like diversions, we like changes, because we are, help us forget. Please understand this, okay, from that time onwards. As a child, we needed a toy to be distracted, to be calm. Okay, to forget our disturbance, to forget our problem, to forget the disturbance, to forget what should we do? Just to distract the attention. From attention is taken away from disturbance, there is seeming calmness. See, I'm telling you the facts. Please really pay attention to what I'm telling. Distraction, you distract the attention from disturbance, which means you need something else to focus on. Isn't it? Distraction implies what? You need a toy, some other toy for you, for attention to be distracted from the disturbance to the toy. Isn't it? You need something. Nothing can distract you. Okay, so you need something to distract you. Always some toy is important which can distract attention from disturbance so that temporarily you can forget the pain. Then you have certain relative peace. Similarly, in the whole life, Shastram says, all our duties, all our activities, all our religious activities, all our mundane activities, even the necessary activities which we had to do to earn our livelihood, all of them keep us occupied and busy. So they distract our attention from it. No time to pay attention to disturbance. So we are distracted by our needs, by other things, what we do. Then we seem to be relatively peaceful. We seem to be calm relatively. Actually, we have many, many, many toys to distract our attention from disturbance, to enjoy this relative peace. But unfortunately, we mistake the toys for source of peace and pleasures. Mistake the toys for source of peace and pleasures. And then what happens? These sources, these toys which help us distracted, to help us to, you know, distract us, thereby bless us with some, you know, they serve, they're instrumental for us to have some relative peace and calmness. Then we become attached to those toys. Our dependence is shifted from one toy to another toy. Our dependence gets shifted from one toy to another toy. So, it is very difficult to sort out this raga dveshas. That is why we have so many things to manage the raga dveshas. The whole world of activities, the whole world of objects of enjoyment, the pleasures, all of them are just like toys. Whenever we are in some disturbed, and then they all help us to be distracted from disturbance to have some peace. There's no permanent solution. So again, that's only relative, that's called pleasure, that's called relative peace. Again, we are disturbed. So Shastram says, raga dveshas are managed with the help of all these toys, of objects of pleasures and objects of the activities, etc. really speaking, the raga dveshas are only managed, but they're not resolved. So as long as raga dveshas are there, we have to deal with them, we have to handle them, we have to manage them. And the Shastram says we cannot undo them. Of course, Shastram doesn't need to tell us, it's a fact, there's no way of undoing raga dveshas. And if we want to be absolutely peaceful, definitely we must be free from the hold of raga dveshas for good. Is it possible? I want to be absolutely peaceful and happy, for which I must be absolutely free from the hold of raga dveshas. And then raga dveshas are there as part of me, the individual. I cannot undo them. So Shastram gives us the clue. These raga dveshas can be resolved for good. Thereby one can be free from the hold of raga dveshas. One can free oneself from the grip of raga dveshas completely. Only with a resolve for good. And for them to be resolved, the dependence upon the world must be, resolved. Attachment to the world must be resolved. And attachment to the world, dependence upon the world can be resolved. Raga dveshas can be resolved only when you discover the source of happiness. And the only source of happiness, Shastram says, is the reality. Again, happiness is expression of fullness. There is no such thing called happiness other than limitlessness. In fact, being limitless is being happy. Which is, being limitless is being happy. Being infinite is being happy. And infinitude, limitlessness, actually is the swarupam of the reality. Swarupam means it doesn't come and go. That is why we have to understand happiness also does not come and go. Happiness is not the state of mind. The pleasure is a state of mind which you experience, which is expression of the manifestation of fullness, fraction of fullness. The source of happiness is the source of pleasure also. Why? Happiness is fullness. Pleasure is fraction of fullness. Is it clear? Pleasure is fraction of fullness. And happiness is fullness. So fraction is not outside of fullness. Therefore, the only source of happiness is the only source of any pleasure. Nothing in the world is a source, there's no source of pleasure which is a fraction of fullness. And there's no source of happiness which is fullness itself, other than the truth. Therefore, if I have to discover fullness, the happiness, I have to discover the source of happiness, which is discovering the source of happiness means discovering the very truth. And discovering the truth means discovering one's own real self, one's own self. In discovering one's own self, discovering the truth, actually, the drishtau parivartanam, Drishto parivartana means what? There's a change in my inner perspective. Simultaneously, the change in perspective happens. The change in perspective of one's own self is actually change in perspective of the world also. The I, which I use to refer to myself, actually is not just this physical body, is not just this any of this emotion, not just this pranas, but this I is inseparably associated with this body mansions complex. Inseparably associated. Which is relative, incidental, incidental forms. This body mind complex is an incidental form the I is associated with. So if I analyze this with the help of the Shastram, so all these prakriyas help us understand, starting from this kindergarten prakriya, drik drishyaveka prakriya, avasthatarya prakriya, panchakosha prakriya, all these prakriyas, srishti prakriyas understand later on, that is different. These prakriyas definitely help me, the I being distinct and different, even though not distant. So it's a subtle phenomenon. If you search for this I, it is imperceptibly subtle phenomenon. So the truth of I, when you arrive at, definitely you understand the fact that I actually is formless, subtlest reality, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge. The source of knowledge is the source of happiness, is the source of fullness. Because these emotions which rise in the name of thoughts, raga or dvesha, themselves are subtle phenomena, obtaining in the form of a thought which come and go. Even raga doesn't have existence outside of this reality. In terms of pure knowledge, dvesha doesn't have existence outside of the reality. Raga and dvesha, where is raga, where is dvesha? Does raga and dvesha exist independently without you? Raga will resolve if you don't see. Dvesha will disappear if you don't see. So raga and dvesha are subtle phenomena obtaining in him of thoughts, which rise. So it is, you understand, this truth of I is the only truth of raga dveshas also, the desires also, all the emotions also. And the truth, which is the only truth of all the minds, only truth obtaining as the knower in every mind, the knower in any being, is the same truth, on the same truth. But the only knower of all the known, and that knower obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, is resolved the knower in the knowledge reality. Understand, it is this reality, only source of knowledge, is the only source of happiness, only source of experience. And this has to be repeatedly understood, dwelt upon, assimilated. That is when the fundamental problem can be resolved. See, in assimilating this fact of the truth obtaining as one's own self being the only source of happiness, will help me resolve my fundamental problem. Only fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy settled on I is resolved, I tell you, no, there will not be dependence upon the world. There won't be, no, there'll be, that is when detachment is possible naturally. You don't attain detachment, you are detached naturally. And that is when, even raga dveshas cannot be triggered. You can be with the world in independence, in non-expectation, in detachment. No object can trigger like in you or dislike in you. In independence, nothing can trigger any dislike in you, hatred in you, nor liking in you. This is a fact. Whether we like it or not, whether you feel bored with the class or not, whether you think it is practical or impractical, this is the fact. And if you accept it, I can understand you are mature enough to accept it. If you don't accept it, still I can pray to Bhagavan and leave it. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.